the church that never fails, and that is the church of the living God. We know that. We're going to remind you of it a little bit today in Acts chapter 12. That's the next slide, and it's not all on the screen, I don't think. Is it, Robert? Is the whole... Okay. The whole chapter is not there, but turn in your Bibles, and then let's read it together, or look at it as I read, what have you, and then portions of that scripture will be on the screen as we go. The Bible says this. It says, "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Then he saw that this pleased the Jews, and he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison." Now here's the key right here today. "But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, 'Put your clothes and sandals,' and Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating.' When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary and the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the door, the outer entrance, and the servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, 'Peter is at the door.' 'You're out of your mind,' they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, 'It must be his angel.' But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. 'Tell James and the brothers about this,' he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter, and Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him. He cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed." Here's Peter's miraculous escape from prison recorded for us in Acts chapter 12. God always delivers his people. I believe that with all my heart. Now, there's different ways, there's different times, and all kinds of things we can say about it, but God always delivers his people, either through or from the trials of life. So wherever you're at today, in whatever trial, whatever situation, I believe God delivers his people. It might be through them, it might be from them, but God is God. This name here, King Herod, Agrippa, this is the grandson of King Herod the Great, who tried to kill baby Jesus. So there's some history going on here. The nephew of Herod Antipas, who had John the Baptist killed. So it's been about 8 years since Stephen's death, and we know the persecution that came on Stephen. So now we've got the first, quote, political persecution of the church happening right here in this scripture. James was killed, and Peter is in prison. Now, if you'll look with me on the screen at the next slide, Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The trial of life, yours, Peter's, mine, we have trials. And right here's the key to this. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. Church-wide prayer, serious prayer. The whole church was praying. How? God is great, God is good. No, it was earnest, it was sincere, it was what was needed to see the deliverance of God. And God came through. That's a miraculous story. The scripture here about how Peter escaped from prison, and it's true. I submit to you like all the Word of God is. So God never has and never will allow the persecution of His followers to go on and on and on. There is an end. Do you believe that? Because God is holy and righteous and just. And He does not allow the persecution of His people to go on forever. He does not do that. He is long-suffering. Amen? We know that. We can testify to it ourselves, that He is patient with us, and He's patient with other people. He wants all to repent and be saved by the blood of Jesus. So He only tolerates evil for so long. And that's you, me, family, church, that's the world, any subject you want to put in the blank, He only tolerates evil for so long. Herod here was opposing God. He was persecuting the church and killing the servants of God. Now, you say, well, did God take notice of that? You better believe that He did. And Herod's time to simply run out. And when God says enough is enough, it's enough. When God says that, his sin, Herod's sin here, couldn't be allowed to just keep going and persecuting the church. And God stepped in. On the screen, you see Romans 6:23, familiar to you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that. So this, the wages of sin, Herod, yours, mine, whoever, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I invite you, if you're not saved today, to take Jesus upon His great plan here of salvation. And this gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The next slide is Acts 12:24. But the word of God continued to increase, and spread. We've got the persecution. We've got people being killed. We've got people in prison. But yet, what's it say here? It says the word of God continued to increase and spread. Even through the persecution, God's word still going forth. People, God's servants are still serving, and the gospel spread anyway. So what about us today? Are we in some kind of persecution? We can take it from our country. We can watch all the new president be sworn in. We can see hope maybe, or maybe you see something else. I don't know what you see. But in all the world, in all the country, us as families, individuals, a church body, there's hope in the Lord. No matter if the persecution's there or not. And the next scripture there is Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know that scripture too. So now, whether we're in persecution, our country, our family, as an individual, whatever the enemy might be throwing at you in your Christian walk, I tell you, there's hope. There's help. We talked about that last Wednesday, about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ itself. There's tremendous power in the blood. Oh, it's more than just a song. But it's true. So, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, and then for the Gentile. So we know that there's power in the blood of Jesus. And just as these folks were being persecuted in the early church, they were not ashamed of the gospel. And we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel today either, and I know we're not. So we got Acts 12 here. We read of what could discourage people here. If you're in prison, you're chained up, and you got 16 guys watching you, that could be a little discouraging. If your brother had been killed here, that could be some discouraging circumstances. And this is what was facing the early church here. And Herod meant to have Peter killed after Easter, but we see that he had a little problem with that. So if the early church now was going to be inclined to be discouraged, it could have happened right here. But they didn't allow that to happen to them. They took that discouragement or that despair or whatever they might have been feeling, and they turned that into this prayer here. And Peter was kept in prison, but the church was what? Earnestly, wholeheartedly praying to God for him, and it brought about a miraculous deliverance. I still submit to you and believe today in 2017 that the earnest prayer, the faithful prayer of God's people brings deliverance and transforms lives still today. It happens today. And we, the church, need to be in earnest prayer for, yes, ourselves, our families, our church body, the community of Clarkdale, the state of Mississippi, and our world, because God is still God. He's still on the throne. Jesus is still at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is still working, and the answer is still Jesus Christ, the Lord. So these discouraging things were happening? Sure they were. But it drove them to their knees in prayer. The next slide says a praying church is one that will never fail. A praying church is one that will never fail. And I ask you and myself this morning, how is my prayer life? Really and truly now, not what's up here, who's praying up here today. The state minister did a great job. We're glad to have him and his family. And he prayed a beautiful prayer. But how's he praying Monday through Friday? Well, the pastor comes, Bill comes, we all pray, and here we are, and you pray in Sunday school class. And then what do we do Monday through Friday? Well, I believe me and these men too, I believe we're praying every day. And as a church, I can't encourage you enough, wherever your prayer life is, to keep it up and improve it, wherever it is. Well, it's not too good today. Well, it can be better, amen? Well, man, I tell you, I've had a prayer life the last month. Man, it's the best I've ever had in my life. Praise the Lord, and keep going. The people here, the church was praying, and it brought about the deliverance. So when the church, the persecution comes in the church and an individual life, if we're saved by the blood, we are connected to the power source. We're connected to the one that we know we don't have to despair when we're certainly and absolutely consecrated to God. So Peter, yes, he was under guard here, 16 guys, soldiers, with him, and the angel came to deliver him. And it says he was asleep. Well, would I have been asleep? I don't know. What are they going to do with me? Might have been running through my head, my mind. What are they going to do with me? James has already been killed here. What's going to happen to me? Would I be worried? Would I be upset? I don't know what I would have been. But evidently, according to this, he was asleep. He wasn't too worried about it. It don't seem like to me. He was consecrated to God. So we keep reading this chapter, and Herod died, and there's those words again. But the word of the Lord grew and multiplied, or the gospel spread, and that's just God at work because of the church itself. Because of the church of the living God itself will triumph. Okay? this is what Allah says, this is what Buddha says, this is what this president did or this president said he's going to do, and this is all that, and you throw it all around, you get the universities around our country, and they're teaching all kinds of hogwash, you put it all together, and listen, I got some good news for you. The Church of the Living God wins. The Church of the Living God wins. Triumphs. It keeps going, and no persecution will stop it. Not because of me, not really because of you, but because of God Himself and His divine plan. Good news. So there's a lot of things that or organizations that call themselves the church, and we know by definition, by what the Bible says, they're really not a church, and they may come and they may go, they may fail, but the Church of the Living God will walk in victory, will walk in a triumphant procession because God said so. So God's church stands the test of time. Well, you say people sure have been ridiculing the church. People say it's outdated. People say this, say that, and point their finger at this, that, and the other. All that happens. The forces of evil seem to rise against the church. You read the numbers, the statistics, and talks about how people are turning away from church and how they don't tithe anymore and how they don't. And some of that's true, and it saddens our heart, but I'm here to still tell you. The Church of the Living God, the people genuine and true and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, still win and walk in victory. It's going to be that way. Why? Because God said so Himself. People may fight the church and come against her, but I'm here to tell you, she still wins. And sometimes we, the church, talk about the outside forces, and this person said this in government, or this person did this in government, and these things are coming against the church, and that those things are true oftentimes. But sometimes, more often than not, it is the inside. It is the people inside the church. That's you and I. And it's our prayer life. It is our commitment. It is our dedication. It is whether we will stay up night and day and pray earnestly like the church did for Peter that brought about his deliverance. Sometimes it's the inside, not the outside forces, but what we are doing on the inside. That determines the outcome often times more than the outside forces. The next screen on the screen there says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We know that. The church has all the power of heaven and earth against the forces of evil. The next slide, the church that has a vision will never fail. And we've heard that and know that. And we're working on the next steps for Jones Chapel and praying. And I hope you're praying, Lord, what is the next step? What is the right vision? How do we need to move now at this point in time in history? Proverbs 29:18 on the screen, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there's not a vision, people perish. So what is God saying to us at Jones Chapel Church of God these days? So pray about that. The next slide, a witnessing church is a church that will never fail. A witnessing church. How is our prayer life is the question. How is our witness to the community? How many people have I witnessed to about Jesus Christ this past week? How many have you witnessed to this past week about Jesus Christ the Lord? A witnessing church is one that will never fail. And we need to redo a little bit. We need to readjust a little bit maybe in our lives about just how much are we witnessing. Just how much good are we saying about Jones Chapel or about Jesus Christ the Lord? And are we witnessing to people that are not here this morning? Acts 1:8 You know it well, but it's on the screen. But you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and we need to witness and get the power from the Holy Spirit to help us witness. So here we are, 2017. We had a prayer vigil the last week or so. It was going to do it, and then the ice storm came. So we said, hey, we got to back it down this Saturday. And then, okay, here we had that prayer vigil. And it's the beginning of a new year, a new time, January 2017. You, the people of this church, the Sunday that we said, people need the Lord. You heard that old song? And I preached a very short message on people needing the Lord. You placed 257 names on those cards. And those names are not out here in the community passing them out everywhere. They're in that prayer room. That's where they're at. That's where they're going to stay. You've got a copy of the ones you jotted down. 257 opportunities to pray that people will be saved and brought into the kingdom of God. And then we come and we pray. We prayed over those last Saturday from 6 in the morning to 10 at night. That's how things get done. Just like this says, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So we need to be witnessing. The church that Jesus built, it accepts the truth of Scripture and the whole Scripture. And the last slide here this morning says the church that Jesus built will never fail because Christ is the head of the church. That Christ is the head of the church. I will build my church, Jesus said. And then he said, I'm going to lead it on to victory. In a lot of different ways, he said, I'm going to lead it on to victory. So is there opposition? Yes. Is there a real devil that would come against you? Yes. Is there a real devil that would come against the church? Yes. All that's true, but praise be unto God. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. He shed His blood on Calvary to forgive us of our sin, to redeem mankind. He gave us the Holy Spirit that we can be filled and be empowered and still be praying and still be witnessing and still doing what the early church was. And He gives us the power to be victorious and walk in victory because it is God's church. All right? It's God's. And He gives us that power. And hell itself cannot prevail. That's what He said. It's in the book. So we need to look at things a little differently sometimes than we do in the world. And how bad things are. And we don't ignore and pretend like things aren't bad. But we must focus on what is right. Focus on where the power is in God Himself and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. And be praying and be talking to Him and be living holy lives that He will empower us to carry on what He wants us to carry on and give us the grace to do that. Well, praise the Lord for it. Here are these gates in this scripture, and that old prison swung open now by themselves, it says, and the man of God walked right on through. To carry on what God had in store for him. Did evil come against him? Did persecution come against him? Yes, it's recorded. We just read it. It did. But praise God, the victory was his. Now, where are you at today? And where am I at today? What's going on with me and with you today? I said at the beginning, God always delivers his people. And Sunday school lesson was talking about a wrong image that we have of God. And sometimes we're just worshiping a God that we've made up in our mind, kind of. Well, if he don't protect me from everything, then he's not really God. And it goes on and on. It makes us think. God will always deliver his people, either through or from the trials of life. That ought to encourage you today. That ought to lift you up today, because I know just by being your pastor, there's a lot of people in this room right now that's going through tough things. Some of them are physical, some of them are spiritual, or what have you. It's common to man. You're not the only one that feels this way or that way. It's common to man. The devil sees to things, and yet we have this scripture today. We have this example today, and it should encourage us. So, what is it that I need from God today? What is it that in my life I need from God this very moment in time? What is that? What is it for you? What is it for us as individuals? What is it for my family and your family that we need from the Lord this day? What is it as a body of Christ we need from the Lord this day? And there's many answers. There's many answers. And I just pray that we will look at the key to this scripture right here. The church was earnestly praying for Peter, and it brought about this great deliverance. So, in closing today, wherever you're at in life and your prayer life, I encourage you to kick it up a notch, as they say. Just kick it up a notch, whatever that means for you. And be encouraged, and know that God is on your side, but He expects us to be in prayer, in earnest prayer, to see people delivered from sin, to see situations we're praying over, to see people delivered from those. He still has the power. He still has the blood of Christ. It's still available today. So whatever that means to you this day, I invite you to come to an altar and pray. I invite you to pray in your pew, whatever you'd like to do. But if you'd like to spend some time with God, just you and God right here in front of this piano, I won't bother you. I won't come and pray with you. It could be that you just want to spend some time thanking God, asking God to deliver you from something, whatever. You're welcome to come. And if you're over here, that'll be a signal you want somebody to pray with you. So today is a new day. Today is a day to be delivered. Today is the day to come to the Lord and ask for help. How many of you read the Gospel Trumpet and on January the 27th, 1951? That's what I thought. That was before I was born. I read this article, and it was the last part of this sermon. And I've forgotten the name of the man, and I'm sorry, I should have looked it up. But it was the Church Triumphant was printed January the 27th, 1951, in the Gospel Trumpet. And I read that, and I thought, boy, that's good today, isn't it? I need to read more of that, maybe. Have you got any Gospel Trumpets in 1950? Anyway, Henry Johnson, maybe that was the name. I'm sorry, I forgot. But I thought, the church is triumphant. Jesus is still alive and well. What's wrong with us? Don't we know it? Don't we act like it? Let's pray for the fire of Pentecost to come and help us. Lord Jesus, as we stand this morning in your presence, we ask you to do a work within us. Lord, we had the privilege now of reading this miraculous deliverance of Peter and what you did and the prison and the 16 men guarding him, the chains, the doors opened, and he walked out, all because of your power and your plan for him. Father, there may be some here this morning that feels like they're in prison. They may feel like they've got chains on them, chains of sin of some kind, the chains of discouragement or whatever the enemy may be throwing at them today. And I ask you in Jesus' name to remind us, to speak so softly in our hearts this day, that whatever we need to pray for, whether it's in a pew or in an altar, that it'll be done and we'll walk out of this place in victory. We'll walk out with a triumphant attitude because we know we are true and genuine and real with the Lord God Himself. That we know we've laid it all down today at the foot of the cross. That we know we've asked for forgiveness of sin if that's the case. We know we've come and asked Jesus to be our Savior today if that's the case. That we know we've asked the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh and anew this day. And we have the victory of the Lord Jesus. So Lord, here we are before you. And we pray you'll give strength and courage where it's needed. And you will help us to respond to what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.